There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back, everyone, to Inside the Wolf's Den. I'm Joni Wolfswinkel.
And I'm Sean Wolfswinkel. Welcome.
I hope everyone is having a great week. You know what? Something I realized this morning is there are exactly 41 days left until the end of the year. Isn't that crazy?
So we've been, in our companies, we've been pushing to finish strong, and that's been the theme for this quarter has been finish strong. So it's been, as everybody that's listening to this has had, the craziest year ever.
But I am so ready for this year to be over.
So are you counting down?
I'm counting down. I'm counting down.
Yeah. In a way to end it, then yeah. So it's like bury it, right?
Just be done with it. Yes. And I'm already planning for next year. So hopefully.
And it's hard. This week we had a great opportunity to mastermind, which number one, just being able to, whether you believe it, whether it's right or wrong, we grouped together like 12 of us to mastermind RPM franchise.
We did have some distance apart.
So. Yeah, we did. And we wore masks. So the top 12, you know, RPM franchises, you know, we mastermind together, talked about strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. We talked about royalties. We talked about opportunities and employee hiring and keep recruiting and everything, like onboarding employees. It was a great meeting.
Absolutely. Right? 'Cause I look forward to those masterminds, you know, that we're involved in. You know, we probably go to throughout the year, I want to say 6 or 7 a year, you know? And so for the first time,
pre-COVID.
Yeah. But just for the first time to be able to do that and, you know, like-minded individuals and, you know, go in the same direction and have the same
struggles.
Goals.
It was kind of neat. Yeah, same size of businesses, same struggles, same, you know, things that we're facing on a day-to-day and, like, how we're going to overcome a lot of that. And so if you're not doing that, like, whether it's, I mean, there's fitness masterminds, there's also, like, just get that camaraderie and that getting together and going through the same challenges and figuring out a way to, a group of minds is way more powerful than
absolutely.
I think just by yourself. Yeah, and so you see things that you didn't see before.
Right. And even if it's not a mastermind, like just hiring a coach, you know, that can work with you one-on-one on, you know, what you're going through. It's just extremely helpful as you know.
And something cool we did that I've never done before in a mastermind is we actually shared our financials. So we shared our income statements and expenses. Mm-hmm. And so we compared, and the neat part is we did it took a lot of work, but we did it in a way that, like, we compared apples to apples. Mm-hmm. So, like, labor efficiency ratios to number of doors per employee to expense ratio per unit. And we just compared side by side. So it was full
open
being
book,
vulnerable. Yeah. Yeah. Being, and knowing where you're maybe doing good and where you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it was first time we've ever done that. And I enjoyed it because, I mean, obviously that you want to improve on your weaknesses. So and that's one way of doing it. So awesome. Well, we are concluding our real estate series today with episode 32. It's taking a deeper dive into buying, managing, and selling residential real estate. And so if you're just now listening, listen into the last 4 episodes. You know, we talk about your real estate team. We talk about property management. We talk about the real estate cycles. So, and today we're going to talk about when to sell. So when you should sell, options when you decide to sell, why would you ever want to sell? So Sean, I'll kind of open it up to you. And so why would you want to sell?
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, and this applies, you know, the main focus behind a lot of this whole series was long-term rental properties. Mm-hmm. And we should probably preface that more when we started. But I mean, if you're obviously flipping homes, you bought the house to flip as soon as you can and make money and make cash. But,
right.
But we're talking more today about, you know, when you hold long-term rental property, when should you sell? When, mm-hmm. when's a good time? When would you want to? How can, you know, options to sell? And so we'll take a deeper dive, but obviously if you're just flipping homes, yeah, you're going to sell as quickly as possible. We're not going to get into that as much, but I mean, if you're holding a long-term rental, I think, you know, you try to obviously time the market. And I don't think anybody's been 100% perfect at that. Like, you know, obviously buy low, sell high. So buy at the bottom of a market cycle and sell at the top of one.
Right.
You know, timing and planning and executing that perfectly is very difficult.
Yeah, it's like having a baby. You can't really plan for that, right?
Yeah, exactly. You don't even know when you're going to get pregnant, when it's going to pop out. Yeah. I mean, you got ideas, right? But it's hard to time. And you don't know when. And something that I've learned, you know, in the last 20 years is that, you know, the downturns come quicker than mm-hmm. you expect.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If people think everything's high and just everything's great, and all of a sudden, you know, it can be in a couple months
right.
later.
Totally. And I think also with that, like, because you don't know, I mean, when that just comes, like, people just panic sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've had investors that just purchased a year ago and they're already wanting to sell. It's like, well, you didn't give it a chance. Like, you know, real estate is a cycle, you know, it's going to go up and down, and you can't just, you know, you're not going to get what you put into it if sure. you sell now.
Yeah. And every bet, you know, just like any investment, there's, you know, seasons, and mm-hmm. you're going to have a season where you had some expenses, and like, just because you went through that season doesn't mean that it's a bad investment.
Yes.
You might after year two, you might have some expenses, but then you might go 3 or 4 years with the same tenant, you know, and everything goes well and no major issues, and it's performing really well. Yeah. So I think it's too early.
And at the same time too, you get, you know, where you have a tenant in there 3 or 4 years, and then all of a sudden you have a huge make ready. Well, maybe not huge, but you know, bigger than what you expected. But at the same time, you look at it and it's like, well, you know, that same tenant was in there.
Yeah.
For 4 years. So you should have been expecting that, because you didn't have the expenses throughout
the years. You expected the carpet was going to need to be replaced after that time.
Right.
Probably a full paint job, and people just, you had to estimate for that mm-hmm. or budget for it. And so, but I think if you're, you know, why would you want to sell? It's because maybe you're at the height of what you think is the top of the market. And you think, you know, if you've gotten great appreciation, and you got a lot of equity, and the tenant's been paying down your mortgage mm-hmm. for a while, and you think it's time to sell, that and it's a great time, the market's hot. Like, so right now the market in almost any part of the country, it's hot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it might be a good time, because we don't know what the future beholds. Mm-hmm. So if you have a lot of equity, now I'm gonna play devil's advocate with that. Mm-hmm. So if you are gonna sell, you got to know, don't just sell just for the sake, because it's the top of a market. Because
what are you gonna do with that money?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to get into selling and talking about 1031s, mm-hmm. where you're deferring the taxes on, you know, for a later date, and deferring those with your next purchase. But if you don't have that next property to purchase, and you're not planning a 1031, well, now you're going to have to pay
taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I'm looking for the tax code or the, and it's not coming to my head. It'll come to me later. But the, you know, you're going to pay taxes. Where are you going to put that money that you're going to get that same return? Like if you're going to sell and the money's going to sit there for 3 or 4 months and you don't have a place to put it, then why?
Or you might as well have kept it as a rental property.
Or if you're not going to get the same return that you were getting, then why sell? Like there's many philosophies that, hey, like you should never sell. Like if it performs well and it does mm-hmm. well and it's returning you mm-hmm. a good return, above average return, then why sell? Like just mm-hmm. keep going with it. But if you got a place that you can put the funds and get them invested and get a higher return, then it's a great time, and the market's hot and it's a seller's market, then maybe now's the time to sell.
Yes.
I think another reason why you'd maybe want to sell is because you want to increase your cash flow.
Yeah.
So the bulk of our clients are doing it for these reasons. They, a lot of our clients come out of like areas that, it's appreciated extremely mm-hmm. well. they're in very expensive areas to where the real estate prices, they can't get a good enough return because the real estate prices are so high, the return on the rent that they get for that house is nothing.
Right.
And so they're not getting a high return. If they have debt on it, they're using negative cash flow. It might be a place also that there's a lot of regulatory issues with the government. So like California
yes,
and all that.
Yes, I mean, it would be hard to be a landlord in
California,
you know, California.
New York, Oregon.
Yeah, where it's, tenant friendly.
Yeah.
You know, you can't evict, you can't hardly do anything.
So they're, you know, 1031-ing mm-hmm. or selling an investment property in those markets, coming to Texas. The increase in their cash flow, what they're doing is they might, I'll give you an example, like they might sell a house that is, for let's just say $500,000, that's giving them $2,500 in cash flow. Well, they can come here with
and
that same 25.
Two duplexes.
Exactly. And make $5,000
right.
cash flow. So they can double their cash flow mm-hmm. With the same amount of property value that they had in California, but then now it returns double the amount of income that they were getting.
And we have clients that do that all the time.
Yeah, so that's one reason you want to mm-hmm. move. I mentioned about the getting out of a market that just doesn't make sense anymore. And if you can't evict in some of those markets mm-hmm. or it's very difficult, it's time maybe just to get out and get a more investor-friendly market that's going to be easier to manage a rental property.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Accumulate more assets and diversify. So if you have all your eggs in one basket, you might want to invest in another market and diversify. So another state, especially if that one state that you have a lot of your properties has really appreciated and done well, and it's a good time to sell, like the other issues that we talked about, then you might want to move into another market mm-hmm. just to some of the markets out there that just haven't increased in that property value yet or haven't seen that high appreciation yet. You might want to go from a high appreciating market to one that's just about to take off.
Yes.
Maybe jobs are moving there. Businesses are moving there. It's right about to explode. You might uh-huh. want to invest in that market before it takes off.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, if you're looking for a turnkey provider, make sure you vet them, interview them.
Yeah.
Or if you're buying it yourself, make sure you're doing your research to make sure that market is
a good exactly. market. Exactly. I mean, Ian, just Joni and I's example. So, and I think we've told this on previous podcasts, but you know, we bought a home, two homes. We held them at a time when right before the last real estate
mm-hmm,
crash,
2008,
I think so, somewhere right there. And we couldn't sell it. Like number one, we were spent way more on the rehab than we had estimated. We were in the house for as much as it was worth. Mm-hmm. We had as much money and cash in that house than as we would have lost money if we had sold it after commissions and everything. So we held it, and those two houses doubled in value in a 10-year period.
Yeah.
Which allowed us to, and then the tenant had paid down a lot of our debt over 10 years. And we used those to 1031 into our office building here and then office the
our self-storage in Albuquerque.
Yeah. So those are ways too that why you'd want to sell. Well, we had a great run on those houses mm-hmm. and they were bad investments that turned into great investments. And then we parlayed them into commercial. And
right.
so that's another reason why you want to maybe sell is you want to trade up. So you want to move into a bigger asset. You might want to get, a lot of people trade up from their, it's kind of Monopoly. That's a great example. So you collect your 10 or your, I think it's 5 greenhouses, right? And then you trade up to a hotel. It's no different than that. A lot of people do that. They buy their 5 greenhouses and they trade up usually into multifamily or mm-hmm. some kind of bigger asset that maybe they're not as involved in. They don't have to be as involved in the day-to-day operations.
Yeah. For sure.
Another reason is it's just to why you'd want to sell is it's just a poor performing asset.
Yeah.
And that,
and something that we do for our clients and actually it's coming out this in 2021 is we have what's called the wealth optimizer where, you know, we can take our investors' investments and kind of do a performa for them, you know, and put all the rental properties in there and kind of see, you know, how each one is doing, mm-hmm. right? And if they're not performing, then we can say, hey, you know, maybe it's time for this one. You should sell this one. So,
right.
I mean, it happens.
It happens. I mean, we've
I mean, our personal portfolio, you know, there's always one, it seems like, a year that is not performing as well. And so that one we'll wait till the tenant moves out, and then we'll put it on the market to sell.
Correct. So. Do the make ready and then put it up for sale. I mean, sometimes it's the house has just continues to have maintenance, and there's houses that you just that do that. There's for whatever reason, it could be just that street. Like maybe it's the neighbors. You know, I don't know why, but like there's times where a house just turns over year after year after year, and it's like, why can't we get anybody to stick? So stuff like that. It could be the real estate taxes. So we've had a couple of our personal rentals where they're large houses that usually that we've had issues like this. So they're the largest homes in the neighborhood. So they get taxed at the highest tax value.
And you can't really increase the rents to cover that.
Because of the areas, because they're the largest houses in the area. So they don't perform as well as they should because taxes, insurance, everything goes up. And then the make ready is just, we're super expensive.
Right. So. Yeah, I mean, we protest the tax. That's one thing that we do for our investors as well is, you know, we'll protest the taxes each year. You know, we have a company that does that for us. But, you know, to help, you know, try to save on that. But not always does it happen.
Another reason maybe is to want to sell is to pay off debt. Right. So, you know, a lot we've looked at that and we've done some of that. We've just sold off rentals and we're willing to pay off sell off some of our rentals to pay off some of our other debts and just pay down our debt to have more free and clear assets.
Exactly.
And so that you might go from
for us less is better than having. Yeah, I don't know, 50 rental properties, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you have a portfolio of 10, you might want to go to 5 and have them all free and clear, and you produce the same amount of cash, but it's less to manage, less to have to worry about, and produce the same amount of cash flow. When would you want to sell?
I mean, when you're at the top of the market cycle, right?
Yeah. It's another thing that you've gotten very good at and you manage in the property management side is when the lease expires. Right?
Yeah. So. And the reason for that is, if you want market value for the property, it's really hard to, sell the property when the tenant is in there. Right. Yeah. Because number one, I mean, the tenant, COVID times, I mean, that's almost impossible.
Yeah.
But even before that, I mean, you don't know if the tenants are keeping up the property, you know, maybe it just doesn't show well. And then also investors like to buy for return on investment. And so if most investors are going to want a good deal on it to get that return, so you're probably not going to sell it for market value.
Correct.
So usually I like to wait until, you know, the lease is up. Then we'll do the make ready and then get the property on the market.
And it opens it up to owner occupied.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're not just having to sell to an investor when it's tenant occupied. Now you've opened it up to anybody that mainly people that want to live there.
Right.
And people that want to live there will pay market value for the home.
Absolutely. And options when selling, right?
Yeah. And then, absolutely. So some of the options that we went through or we just wrote down were, you know, obviously the biggest one and knock on wood, we don't have an administration that changes this because it's come up in his talks, but the 1031 tax exchange. Mm-hmm. So, what you're able to do is sell your asset and defer the taxes, capital gains. That's what I was trying to think of the other earlier.
A little delayed.
So defer your capital gains. And as long as you use a 1031 intermarry, right?
Beep.
So if you use a 1031 agent that will, that's better, right? To use a 1031 agent that, you know, when you sell the property, you, all the funds go to the 1031 agent, and then you have 45 days to declare your new properties that you're going to purchase or property. And then you, have 180 days to close on that new property.
Correct.
So, a lot of times people, once they go under contract on their property to sell, they notify they've already contracted or worked with a 1031 agent. They're already looking for their new property. Mm-hmm. So like our clients, they're 1031 out of a property in California. They already working with us on declaring the property. So when they close, they have 45 days. So I've already narrowed down. I'm going to go from one house to six. I've already declared my six that I'm going to buy with, Sean in Houston. And then I have 180 days to close on those properties
exactly.
with him.
Right.
And so all the money from the sale of that property in California goes to the 1031 agent. And then when it's time to close, you can, the 1031 agent will send the funds, appropriate funds to mm-hmm. the title company.
Yeah. And so. Just the advice on that, just be sure to talk to your 1031 agent before, you know, doing any of that to make sure you're on the right path.
And, correct.
You
and know, your accountant.
Yeah. Because,
your CPA.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You want everything to be done correctly.
Yeah.
So
but it's a great way to not have to pay if you've really made a lot of capital gains on that property that you're selling and defer the taxes.
Right. And so, I mean, there's some planning that comes with that.
Exactly.
You know, so.
And working with a good, making sure that whoever you're buying the houses with knows what you're trying to accomplish.
Exactly.
Or you got to know what you're doing and making sure that you're going to be able to close within the 180-day window.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, so if you're using, you know, an agent to help you, just make sure that you communicate that with them, you know.
Yeah. But, and then selling retail with an agent. So mm-hmm. we kind of talked about that. So maybe when the lease expires, you put it up, you know, do the rehab, make ready, and then put it up with an agent to
correct.
Resell to the retail. Mm-hmm. Selling to an iBuyer. I threw that in there because I think it's always an option. And
not everybody knows what an iBuyer is.
Yeah, so
why don't you explain what an iBuyer is?
So an iBuyer is a company, usually a tech company. So like, an example could be like Zillow, Roofstock, to name like some bigger companies that are interested in buying properties. They're a tech company that usually trying to eliminate the hassle of buying and selling mm-hmm. real estate. So you can contact them. They'll give you a price. Usually it's a price minus some kind of fee that they want to make minus whatever they go in and assess repairs that need to be done.
Right.
And then that's what they'll buy it for. And then what they do is they go in and either do those repairs or they just sell it at, you know, minus the repairs, and then they make their whatever percentage commission on that sale. But it's one way that you have a guaranteed buyer. So
mm-hmm.
And they're all over the board, and it depends on the neighborhood, the house. You know, sometimes they're not interested in certain mark areas, but...
And I think certain price points too,
yeah,
right? I've
points,
heard certain price points they're not interested. So.
But it's an option that if they can get you close to retail and,
mm-hmm.
and it makes sense and you don't want to
might be an option
it
for
might
you.
Be an option.
A quick option.
Correct.
So if you, and that's another thing too, is like timing, right?
Yeah.
If you're looking to exit quickly, that might be an option.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the last one we put here is owner financing the mm-hmm. house. So this is always an option too, is like if you own it free and clear or and you don't want to pay all the taxes and you don't want to 1031 and have to buy another property, you just want to create the monthly cash flow, or you don't have nowhere to put the money
mm-hmm.
after you sell it and you don't want to pay all the taxes up right up front, you can always owner finance it. So you can get a down payment to get you some lump sum, and then you can finance it
mm-hmm.
and get a higher interest rate. And just what's nice is you only have to pay, you know, consult with your CPA, but you only have to pay taxes on the money that you collect that year. So if you, whatever your lump sum plus whatever, you know, interest and principal payments you made that year is what you'd have to declare. So you can go over, you know, 5-10 year period, you can owner finance that
mm-hmm.
house and make a good cash flow if you're just wanting the return and the cash flow every month.
Yeah. So, awesome.
We talked a lot about taxes and, you know, deferring your taxes and all that, but you really need to consult with your CPA and your 1031 agent if that's what you're using. They're the ones that will give you the correct advice and make sure that you're covered when you're trying to defer the taxes or, you know, minimize your taxes. So always consult with your CPA and 1031 agent.
I hope everyone enjoyed this series. If you're just now listening in, make sure you go back to the last four and listen in. There's some great information there, lots of value that we added. And if you guys have anything for us, feel free to reach out to us, give us a review at InsideTheWolfsDen.com, and also on Instagram, Joni M. Wolf and Sean the Wolf at Instagram. So.
Yeah. So, and just share this if you feel like it's adding value and you think somebody needs to hear it. We'd love to reach out and reach more people. And
yes.
So,
and yeah. 41 days left, guys. So let's make the rest of this year count.
Yes.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.